welcome to Reformation Platform Media. And now, we present to you God's Word, which is able to save your soul. Please, listen with your heart as the servant of God brings us the Word of Life.
And treated as if innocent, or, so that's semicolon, when we get to innocent. This is being regarded and treated as if innocent, semicolon, or acquittal from the consequences of guilt. Before the tribunal of God. I'll just go on so that we don't slow down, okay? She'll write it, okay? It means a person on account of true and living faith in the sacrifice of Christ will be delivered from condemnation on account of his sins. That is, his sins will be forgiven him and he will be regarded and treated as innocent and holy. Thus, innocent and holy, thus, besides the remission of sins, and their penalty, it includes the restoration and everlasting enjoyment of the favor of God. Amen. If I want to have a simpler word on how to put justification, it simply means being right with God. Or being regarded as right with God. Do you understand now? Formerly, we were enemies of God on account of our sins, okay? But the moment we are now justified, after we have been atoned for, okay, we are now regarded as what? We are now right with God. Do you understand? With all our sins removed, all our issues removed, we are now right with God. Remember where we started from. I recognized my sins. I look for help, so that way I'm atoned for. The moment I'm atoned for, in the court of heaven, they declare me acquitted. Okay? They declare me justified. Do you understand that? Now, when heaven justifies me, there's no ground, neither is there any basis for self-condemnation. Why? I've been made right with God. And that's the highest court in the universe. Do you understand? The court of God is the highest court. So if they say you are right, you are okay, you're not sinful. Whatever else are they saying I'm sinful, I just simply ignore it. What do I simply do? Huh? I just ignore it. It's not important what anything or anyone says. Okay? And the basis for that you can find in Romans chapter 8. From verse 1 to verse 2, then towards the last verses, I think from around verse 35. Verse 1 to 2 says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and of death. I want you to read for me from verse 35. That's in Romans 8.
Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love?
Yes, can anything ever separate us from the love of Christ?
Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity?
I wonder from New King James or King James. Then you read from verse 32. All the way down until I ask you to stop.
New King James.
It's okay.
He who did not spare his own son.
God who did not spare his own son.
But delivered him up for us
but
all.
But delivered his son up for us all.
How shall he not with him also freely give us all
things? How shall he not with this same Jesus freely give us all things?
Who shall bring a charge against God's elect?
Now look at that. For every one of you, because justification, the opposite work that the devil does is accusation. Do you understand? But I want to show you, I want to give you a scriptural proof that when God justifies you, nothing can challenge it and it will have a standing. Except you allow it in your own heart. Do you understand? And that you allow it in your heart, the thing will weigh you down and all of that, make a mess of you. It doesn't mean that that's the truth. You're holding on to a lie. When you're telling God about those, your sins are, oh God, see, let's even say that you were a fornicator. And let us even say that all the streets have slept with you. Eh? That you are now God. See, I'm so dirty. When God sees you, what does he see? You are clean. So where is it clean? It's in your mind. You are the one thinking you are dirty. As far as God is concerned, once he justifies you, he has justified you, he has moved on. When you are talking about those things, you ask, what are you talking about? Can we move on? Why? Because he has left that place where you allow Satan to construct chair for you to sit down. And as you are crying, he's bringing you tissue paper there. You didn't blow your nose well. He brings you tissue again. You understand? You are just sitting down there. God didn't keep you there. You are the one that allowed the devil to keep you there. Satan has no power to keep you there. You are there of your own free will. It has to be clear. Okay? We do not judge ourselves, quote and unquote, in the context of whether we are right or we are wrong. God judges us. I'm not saying we can't involve ourselves in self-judgment. We can. I'm only saying that when it comes to the verdict of God, that's beyond you. You're not God. Do you understand? So, in the same way, if God is the one that has acquitted us, if God has set you free, okay, no matter what you think about yourself, you are free. But you can now imprison yourself. Okay? Before we read that place I'm about to read now, which is very important, put a finger there, okay? Then quickly go to Galatians 5, verse 1. Galatians 5, verse 1. Because why this is important, I mean this issue of condemnation and all that, why we must conquer it and crush it today is this. You will notice something. The moment you indulge in self-condemnation, you have no confidence towards God, either in prayer or in standing against the devil. You have no confidence. And the devil knows what he's doing. He needs to rob you of that confidence so that he can keep stealing from you when he knows he no longer has any ground to do so. Okay? So just as you don't judge yourself, God judges you, you can't forgive yourself. Hallelujah. So for those of you who have not forgiven yourself, congratulations. It's not up to you. Amen. It's all just there in your mind. And when you don't forgive yourself, let me tell you the truth, it's because you're a proud person. You don't understand. Because you are feeling, how can I fall like that? Anybody can fall. Yeah, anybody can fall. In fact, let him that thinks he stands do what? Let him take heed unless he falls. So, everybody can fall. So, which one is your own that I could have? Even if I'm going to fall, why did I fall with grace? You are proud. You are a proud person. Do people fall deliberately? If it's a fall, can it be deliberate? Eh? That's why it's a fall. It's an accident. If it's a fall, it will be accidental. Then after that accident, you are wondering, but I could have driven more carefully. Can you change what is past? What is past is past. You only leave it where? In the past. And let you keep it close to you to remind you of what you can be without the grace of God. Do you understand? That's the only thing it's useful for. It has nothing more than that. You keep it to make you humble. Okay, that if I'm not careful, if I don't walk in the Spirit, this is what will happen to me. That's the only thing it's useful for. Oh, remove it from your diary. Amen. Stop building an altar to it. If I didn't say yes that first time, but you have said yes that first time, whatever damage has been done, God has forgiven you. He has moved on. Move on. Amen. That's how people go to therapy for. Then the psychologist will be asking them, how do you feel this person? I was coming and I saw blue paint. I saw a blue wall and I was just depressed. What did that make you remember? I used to pity those Americans. It's because you are a fool. You are beaten and you are a fool. Yeah, remember yourself color blue. What's that one? I said put a finger there that we are going to Galatians 5 verse 1. What did it say?
In this freedom, Christ has made us free.
Christ has made you free.
And completely liberated us.
Give me King James or New King James. Huh? Except I tell you I want translations, okay? There's a way it reads in King James.
Stand fast therefore in the liberty
wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Amen. Don't entangle yourself again in bondage. Now read from there your fine translation now.
In this freedom,
Christ has made us
Jesus
has made you free.
and completely liberated
and
us.
And has completely freed you.
Stand fast then.
Stand fast then.
And do not be hampered.
Don't be hampered.
And held ensnared.
Don't be held in a trap.
And submit again to a yoke of sorrow.
And submit again to a yoke of
slavery.
Slavery.
Which you have once put off.
Which you have once put off. Self-condemnation is what? It's a yoke. It's a load you don't need to carry. Let me give you an example. Huh? Let's say you hurt me, and you hurt me badly. And you came, and I told you, I've forgiven you. I even prayed with you, we embraced. Then you went back home to the crying. How could I have hurt Abraham like that? You see that? You are in prison. Who built the prison? Huh? You, it's not for Satan, it's you. Who entered the prison? You are the one. Who is holding the key in the same prison? Do you understand? And somebody can live like that for 30 years under such evil cloud of his own making. May you accept and embrace all that Christ has done for you in Jesus' name. Salvation is not full if we are righteous. No, that's not the right word. Salvation will not be sweet. Your deliverance will not be sweet if we were clean. Do you understand? Will it be sweet? But to imagine how dirty I was. I mean, I was dirty. Oh my God. And that Jesus will clean up the whole thing and nothing will remain. That one is sweet too. All the things I used to run for now run from me. That's sweet. If I die, sweeter. You understand? So it doesn't matter what I have done. What counts is that I have returned. Did it matter that that boy squandered the father's own money? The prodigal son? Yes, the younger brother owns everything now, but we know that boy will still get a share again. No, be so. How won't he get a share again? Why do they want him to live on? You understand? And now that he has returned, of course, the father will own more and more and more and more again. So, who was there to give him an estate? Okay? We are talking about the unsearchable riches of Christ. What are we talking about? The kind of riches that you eat from it, the thing can't finish. Even if the whole world comes to take from it, it can't finish. We may call the angels to come and join. You understand? So it doesn't matter what I have done. What counts is that I want to return to God. And once I've returned to God and it tells me I am justified, what happens now? I must not allow anything or anyone to tie me down again. I mustn't. So when somebody comes and creeps up to you and tells you, he will not be bad. Huh? You open Galatians 5:1. Say, read. Satan, come and read. If you have voice, read. Okay? So I need that preamble before we read Romans 8 from verse 33. That's why. Romans 8:33 now from either King James or New King James. Yes?
Who shall bring a charge against God's elect?
Who shall bring an accusation against he whom God has chosen?
It is God who justifies.
Hallelujah. Who is it that justifies? Is it you? Is it the devil? Is it the way people see you? Who justifies you? God. And God alone. Yes?
Who is he who condemns?
Who then is the person that wants to condemn me?
It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also
the person that died is Jesus.
Who is even at
so
the right
if you didn't die,
God,
shut your mouth up. The person that died is Christ. Yes?
It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen.
And he didn't just die. He rose from the dead. Why? He died for our transgression, but he was raised for what? Our justification. When he rose from the dead, is to prove that I'm clean and holy. Me, who has no ability to be clean and holy before. So therefore, I can stand my ground and say to the devil, in the name of Jesus, shut up! And what will heaven do? They stamp that thing that I've said. Why? Because my faith is in the finished work of Christ. And on that alone, not on my own works of righteousness, on that alone I stand. That is the gospel. That is the truth. And that's the only kind of thing that can deliver you from self self-righteousness and all that. Thinking now that because I'm reading my Bible constantly, you know, I'm fasting twice a week, So what happens? So God should accept me. No, God does not accept people on that basis. He accepts people on the basis and solely on the basis of their faith in what Christ has done. And as they keep standing on that, they receive not just imputed righteousness, but imparted righteousness. They are now able to live a clean and holy life as they keep standing only on what Christ did. Amen. This is what makes it possible that murderers like Paul, okay, prostitutes like Rahab, can be engrafted in into the commonwealth of the holy family of God. That's what makes it possible. That's what makes it happen. And that's why there's hope for everyone who comes to Jesus. There's hope for everyone. Yes, go on.
Who is even at the right hand of God?
Yes.
Who also makes intercessions for us?
What is the ministry of Jesus now? Why is he seated beside God? Who is he there for? He's for me. That you, I said you will make it too. Me too, I said Jesus, yes, I'll make it too. So as I stumble, I say, see, I've stumbled again. Say, Father, please. Help him. Give him strength. Give him grace. I only need not to deceive myself. I will learn hypocrisy from church. Where do we learn hypocrisy from? I only need to be true to myself. Lord, I'm struggling with this thing. Not that when I'm struggling with something, and it's time to pray about what I'm struggling about, I'm praying in tongues. Did you sin in tongues? Do you understand? Say, pray, God, help me to overcome points of weakness in my life. Is that what? Instead of you to mention it by name, God, oh, I used to look at women, it's inside. This when I see things that doesn't belong to me, there's a way it looks finer than the one they sell in the market. Lord, I'm covetous. Instead of you to list it like that, so that when he answers your prayer, what happens? You know what was answered. Be speaking in tongues. Just generalize. Lord, just deliver me. Deliver me generally. So, you know, there's no way to measure whether you are delivered generally because you didn't pray specifically over specific issues. It is God that justifies. And it is Jesus that died. Yea, not only died, who is now alive for what? To pray for us, to intercede for us. So, if I have an advocate in heaven, just as I have an advocate on the earth, in the person of the Holy Spirit, okay, he helps me while I walk through this earth. Jesus helps me there in heaven where it counts. How can I fail? Do you understand? I have all the help I need to make it home. How will I fail? Read on.
Who shall separate us from the love of
who
Christ?
Who then shall separate us from God who loves us this much? Yeah?
Shall tribulation or distress?
Now I want you to switch now to NLT. Because sometimes when we suffer, there's that belief that it is because maybe God has abandoned us and things are no longer well. You know, we are not taught that suffering is normal in Christianity. It is normal. Amen? Suffering makes us holy. Praise the Lord. It is beautiful to suffer. Particularly for righteousness' sake. Yes?
Can anything ever separate us from
Can anything now separate us from the love of
Does
God?
Does it mean he no longer loves us if
Does
we have
it mean
trouble?
He no longer loves us if what?
We have trouble.
If we now have trouble.
Or calamity.
Or calamities.
Or are persecuted.
Or
persecuted.
Or we are persecuted.
Or
Can
hungry.
You see that now in your question earlier about persecution? Yes?
Or hungry.
Or that we are now hungry.
Or
you know,
destitute.
You know these things that we are saying is strange. Now, I won't church. Everything now double. So, me, I say persecution, double. Trial, double. Since blessings, double. Does he no longer love us? Because we are hungry? That we slept on an empty stomach. Does it mean that we are hated by God? Is it not Bible? Is it not New Testament? Because we serve a God who overfeeds us until we are big and fat. That's the kind of God that is given to people today in the churches. And so when tribulation comes, when trials come, automatically they just go back because nobody taught them that it is normal. It's a normal part of life. Is sickness not a normal part of life? Was Barry not sick for 3 months? Is that an offense? Do you understand? Bible says, count it all joy when you enter into different tribulations. So God forbid, how will I count down on joy? Let it back to sender. The tribulation you are wishing me, may you suffer it. I say amen. For it is good for me. Amen. How will you be able to stand and say, my God, who helped me to defeat the lion? My God, by whose help I defeated the bear. You see this great Philistine, his head is coming down. Is it not that you have faith something that you're able to say that? If not, do you know what you'll be doing? Please come. You keep hiding behind your pastors. So when he says, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. That's how you keep doing. And you are useless like that. You can't become anything in the hand of God like that. At that level, you'll not be more than a denominational soldier. And once your father in the Lord backslide, what do you just do? You backslide with him. So when Peter said, I go a fishing, what the other disciple said, we also go with thee. It doesn't matter where you are going. Lead on. Whether it's right or wrong, you just lead on. No. Does it mean he no longer loves us when we go through those things? Does it mean that we are now sinful because money has finished in the bank? Or you don't know we must learn how to abound as we learn, we must learn how to abase as we learn how to abound? That we must learn to manage little just as we learn to enjoy much? Is there also in Habakkuk chapter 3 from verse 17 to the end? Although the fig tree will not blossom, neither will there be fruit on the vine, the harvest of the olive shall fail, there will be no meat in the stores. Nevertheless, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. For then will he make my feet like hinds' feet, and then will he set me upon my high places. The kind of love that is only when there is plenty. I love you, Jesus, I love you. And once everything has finished, then you will know what's happening. Is that one love? Is that true love? What is true love? Oh yeah, what is true love? Unconditional. In plenty and in nothing. May you stop being more thankful because you ate chicken. May you be as thankful for Gary as you are for chicken. In Jesus' name. Because if the devil knows that your God is your belly, he has finished you. All he will just do is say, Jesus will go for you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. He will just withdraw chicken. Say, when was the last time that somebody ate chicken? That's what he started doing. Satan doesn't need to do anything. You have finished it yourself. You understand? You can't fight spiritual warfare that way. You can't be strong as a Christian that way. You must be somebody who is above food. Amen. Amen. It must be something like that. If car is not working, what must you do? Take your car to walk. You will not be seeing somebody working on the road. When won't they be asking, what's wrong with your car? What happened to your car? What is your problem? Were you born with the car? Do you understand? You say, no. No. Because sin is a terrible disease. We use possessions to judge our position. And it is sad. Because it's not true. All the earthly possessions. Have you ever seen a man that died? They buried him in his car or on his waterbed. That's where they buried him. Did they bury people there? What will he, even his ATM card, it was his name, he was not that opened the account. Would they bury anyone with him? You didn't come with anything, you're going with nothing. But if it is the unsearchable riches of Christ that you held on to, when you cross this world, will you be poor? They will even send chauffeurs to come and carry you home. Amen. Some of us are determined not to enter heaven unannounced. No, just keep saying, enter. No, but the one we are entering is like a victory parade. Do you understand? Angels and saints are everywhere and they're clapping and they're saying, welcome. You have done well. You represented us well. That's me. That's what I live for. I don't want to build the biggest mansion. I don't want to succeed. I don't want
to be a big man. I don't want to be known. The way they call success, I don't want it. The way they say money, I don't want it. Amen. You know, you just perplex the devil when you're like that. So what do you want?
I want Jesus. I want to become like him. I want to fulfill the purpose of God for my life. That's what I want.
Amen. Once we are justified, nothing can question your freedom. Please, do you understand? Nothing can now bring your past and drag you in the present and join you and super glue you. No. That past was paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. You must so it must that's why it's only devils that bring accusation on what has been paid for. You understand? Because legally speaking, it was paid for. When a man is brought before the court, okay, in the court of law, and is acquitted and is asked to go free, do you call him ex-convict? Do you say there was a time he had a case? What does that one mean? They say, okay, what was the result of the case? Abi? They say he was acquitted. So what's the basis of your argument if he was acquitted? Amen. What's the basis? The reason why man is powerless before the devil, the reason why man is powerless before the consequence of sin is because he was sinful. Do you understand? But he was atoned for and he was justified. But thereby, we don't understand. I'm from Benin. Our idol. We have room and power for it. You know, as people are living in self-contained in Lagos, our idol has where it goes to Wiwi and to Pupu. And it has a bedroom and sitting room. Nobody dares go inside there. Then I'll show you a Bible verse that says, for we know that an idol is not anything. Hallelujah. And we know that the things that the Gentiles sacrifice to their idols, they sacrifice to demons. And at the name of Jesus, how many demons will bow? All of them. So I don't care whether your daddy is a babalawo, my uncle was babalawo. Me, I'm not. I'm telling you, practical. And he told me that this is your Jesus. He paid you. You think they didn't try you? I know it's not they didn't try. I know it is him. Do you understand? Ali, we know ourselves now, Abi. You try your best. And you find out it's not working. I didn't ask him any question. He was the one confessing. I was 19 at the time. Jesus is real. And when he saves you, he saves you completely. I don't know why God will have me insist on this thing about justification. Don't let any devil, don't let you yourself hold you down. Once you are justified, you are acquitted, you are free to go and live your life. You are free to go and live for him. Don't allow anything to say, brother, let us pray. We are going to bind the devil. They say, no, wait, before we bind the devil, let's cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus. Our children, blood of Jesus. Our house, blood of Jesus. Our land, blood of Jesus. Our door, blood of Jesus. Our chairs, blood of Jesus. Let all these arrows not return back to us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh yeah, let us pray now. What is that? Did you see Jesus constantly doing all of those kind of things? Or just flogs those devils and they just go. What about Paul and the rest of the apostles? It's the same thing. This one that we must keep sanitizing everything with the blood of Jesus. So when they give you food, you pray over it. How? I bless this food with the blood of Jesus. Everything that they have put inside. You're already eating poison. Because you are not eating by faith. Do you understand? Every food is sanctified with thanksgiving. How is food sanctified? Is it by saying, Lord, whatever they put inside? It's sanctified. That's what the Bible says with thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you because you made this food and you have given us this food. And we will eat it and it will do us well. Hallelujah. And so we shop it. That's how it's done. There's no fear, no anything. Who remember the Mount Zion film? That some people were giving, they're offering egg and whether yam or something to their idol. And one missionary was going, but he had slept on the tree that they were going to offer something to, and he had been hungry and he had been praying that God, your servant is here. Lord, make provisions. As those people just went away, say, God, thank you. Thank you for this breakfast. And it was the whole thing. His tummy didn't swell. Why will he swell? Who made egg? But they have caught something over it. Incantation. You say, something. And we also say, Father, we thank you because you made yam, you made eggs. We receive it with thanksgiving. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And we eat it. But what if somebody's prayer does that? You know, like what those Muslim meats that they bring, they say that they pray those, their prayer over it. If your faith does not carry it, please, when you collect it, post it to me. I will help you. At least you know, you will still be clean and holy and all that. I will wash it for you. And nothing will happen. Why? We have been justified. We have been cleansed. We have been made righteous by God. Number one, under justification, it is only the penitent who clings by faith to the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ that can qualify for justification. Obviously, you know, I don't need to explain this one. Abi, we've talked so much on atonement and on clinging to what Jesus has done in the atonement, okay? So there's no need for me to explain it. Number two, before Jesus, who died, can accept to pay the price of death for anybody, that person must accept to surrender his life to Jesus. This surrender means that you will have no more rights, no more claims, no more possessions, no more concerns, no more desires, no more plans, and no more ambitions as far as that your life is concerned. Now, this is the point that we're going to end on, okay? This is the one I want to really explain. And this is why a lot of people have problem with being born again, what it meant, and it's why after they claim to be born again, there's a consistent friction between living for the Lord and living for they themselves. One of the courses that we're going to be taking in this school is maintaining a consistent devotional life. Okay? And while I was with the Lord yesterday and I was talking to him about it, he kept telling me there's a difference between devotional time and devotional life. I said, Lord, what's the difference? He said, a devotional time is a time that you devote and dedicate to maybe praying, reading the Bible and all that. Is it not so? Huh? He said, but a devotional life is a life devoted to God. Amen. And when it's time, we'll talk about it. But why I raised it is because most Christians never rise beyond devotional time. They don't rise into devotional life. Even if you want a Christian to prepare a message or to take maybe Sunday school or something, he may need 4 weeks to prepare for 30 minutes. Do you understand? Meanwhile, if he had a devotional life, what happens? I'm telling you the truth. Even if he does not prepare, will he deliver? You understand? Why? Because he's always prepared. Why? Because that's what he lives for. So before Jesus can die for you, you must accept to give him your life. So, the substitution doesn't just work one way. It works both ways. I don't know. Do you understand that last statement? Do you understand or you don't understand my last statement? Since he died for you, you must live for him. Is it clear now? Huh? So that's why I said that the substitution goes both ways. Just as he substitutes to die for you, you must now substitute. Having died and he has gone to heaven, you must now substitute your life to live for him. That must be clear. Where the power is in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And so therefore, the life that I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. If Jesus is the one living in me, if he prays to God, will God hear? If he tells the devil, stop, will Satan stop? Do you get the idea now? But the problem is that we want to be involved in fraud. Jesus, please now, go and die for me, go and die for me. Say, okay, I'll die for you. Bring your life. No, let me keep my life, but die for me. Because that's what we do. Do you understand? So at the end of the day, we are now stuck in the middle. We don't become anything. Do you understand? That is a major problem. We get stuck in the middle. God cannot make progress with us as he should have, because the life that is required to make progress by, we don't have it. The plan of God for your life requires that you are living in holiness, right or wrong. I don't know and I don't care what that plan is, but it requires that you can't continue the way you were. Huh? Now, we say, I've received Jesus, but I want to continue the way I am. So what happens to the plan of God? It gets bogged down. Why does it get bogged down? Because there's no how. God Almighty, who is in heaven, will continue to do with you what he wants to do with you if the kind of life that will fulfill what he wants to do is missing. Amen. There's no how. And so that becomes a problem. Jesus will not just die for you if there will be no exchange. What activates what Christ has done is your response to what Christ has done. Do you understand? And your response is, Lord, this is my life. Do with it whatever you want to do with it. Do you understand? Then, what he has done for you, what he has done on your behalf, then becomes valid. Amen. I think you have written the scriptures, Abby. Okay. It's only then that it becomes valid. And this is why we have problems. So, before I can become born again, which is the next step, which is step number 4, new birth, before I can get there, I must start by recognizing my sin. I must seek the atonement. I must have been justified. Only then am I born again. Do you understand? Because those things are missing. That's why it looks like, but he's born again. How can he born again? Do that kind of thing. He will do that kind of thing. Sin does not cost him anything. Why? He was never freed from sin. They just told him that he's born again. Do you get the idea now? He was never freed. He got born again because he wanted breakthrough. So what concerns him with sin? If he doesn't know how weighty sin was, even when he now claims to be saved, as the so-called Christian that he is, will sin have weight to him? So he will form a doctrine and say, God knows it's not easy. If the Lord marks iniquity, who will stand? He looks for such excuses. And he says them. And that's why almost all our streets are filled with churches. And nothing is changing. That is why. Because the things that should bring about change were removed. Very quietly, very discreetly. Were removed. That's what. First Peter 4, verse 1 to 2. You've written it. It's part of what you wrote down. But I want us to just read that before we continue.
First Peter 4.
Yes.
So then, Christ suffered physical pain. you must arm yourselves with the same attitude he had.
Yes.
And be ready to suffer too. For if you have suffered physically for Christ, you are finished with sin. You will spend the rest of your life chasing your own desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God.
Yes. Please read it now from the King James.
For as much then as Christ has suffered for us, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind.
Make up your mind. Have the same mindset. Yes.
For he that had suffered in the flesh.
When somebody suffered or suffers in the flesh,
assist from sin,
he will stop sinning.
That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh.
Such that he no longer lives the rest of his lifetime in the flesh.
To the lust of men.
To the desires of men.
But to the will of God.
But it does the will of God. When people refuse to suffer in the flesh, they continue to live in sin. Do you understand it now? But when you suffer in the flesh, you are done with sin. When you deny the flesh, you allow the spirit. Do you understand? And so what happens now? You are done with sin. You can't be living a life of sin while you are denying the flesh. It's not possible. For denying or denial of the flesh itself, that is exactly what it means. That you are freed from sin. When you are justified, you can come before God clean and holy. Your past forgotten. No, your past forgiven. And forgotten, never to be recalled again. Never. Never. And that's the truth. That's the whole truth. Okay? You are the one that will also ensure you don't indulge in self-condemnation and all of such kind of things. And when the devil brings up any of such things, you rebuke him. Do you understand? Keep your mouth shut. Jesus has paid all the price. My past is past. My present is sure. No, my present. My present. My present is sure. And my future is secure. Amen. Why? Because of what Christ has done. And once you are justified and you accept justification, what happens to you now? You are born again. That means that you will die to who you were before. Since the last point on that justification is that the only way to accept his justification, okay, is by surrendering of your life, meaning you are now ready to live for him even as he has died for you. Do you understand it now? Brethren, this is the core issues why most people are not saved properly and why they enter into a man of troubles after they say they have been saved. I can't start the next step because I have 5 points under it, and if I go into it, I will have to explain several things to sustain it. You understand? So it's better that we start in the morning again tomorrow. What is today? Today's Tuesday. Please, have you understood from point number 1 to number 3? Recognition of sin, atonement, and justification. And or do you have questions in them?
Sir, my question is, does that mean that at one point in time I come out for an altar call and I said I've given my life to Jesus without this understanding? So what happened to my salvation?
It is not genuine. Now, I want you to, if it is your question, if it's not just that, you are just asking so that we can all know, if it is your question, you'll find out that in all the explanations from recognition of sin up to atonement, you'll find out that things you have struggled with in life is because those things were missing. And that it would have been easier for you if you had understood that. Then after you are now born again, that's when you are wondering, can somebody really live above sin? Hey, is it really true that Jesus can really forgive somebody, and once he has forgiven, he's not remembering again?
all the steps from recognition of sin to atonement to justification would have dealt with that. Even issues of spiritual authority. If you had been taught properly, you find out that, I don't know, for some of us, if I up till now, some of us cannot even, we are not even sure that God can answer our own prayer. Up till now. Some of us will need people to still pray for us. The reason is because these things were missed. If you know that you were atoned for, and you know how costly the sacrifice of Jesus was for you, will he pray that much and he won't want to listen to you? He won't. He won't want to listen to you. Okay? We now come to the point of justification, that you have been set free, completely free, and that when Jesus died, it was to bring us to what? I keep going back. He brought us to God. He brought us back home. He brought us home. If this process was actually followed, you would have grown more than you are now. You would have been a healthier Christian. Several of the things that were mistakes and all of that would not have been there. That's why when I started yesterday, I was saying, if the foundation is not solid, whatever you build upon it, it will have serious problems. If that had happened, nobody will call you that they want to do deliverance for you after you're a Christian. Are you getting that? Nobody will hear that kind of thing with you. But have you gone for deliverance clinic? You have not gone to. You need to go. Nobody will say that to you. Why? Because when you look at them and the things they are saying, you just laugh. From recognition of sin to justification, it has fled all that. Let's assume that you are a prostitute. At least that's one of the worst things, or you are a cult member. All these cult boys. Like both male and female, that's one of the worst things that you can use to explain something. Is it not so? And this person wants to come to Jesus. And you told them to recognize his sins. Are they not plenty? Whether male, the male cult or the female prostitute, are you getting it? Are the sins not plenty? They are plenty. You told this person that they must acknowledge his sins and sinfulness, they acknowledge them. You told this person that having acknowledged these things now, you must know that God will judge sin. So he's looking for where to hide. He's afraid. Say, no, you don't need to hide. You can be forgiven if you can find a substitute. The person is quietly and carefully brought to Jesus. Do you understand? When he's praying, what is he saying? Lord, forgive me. All the things that we have eaten in our coven, if it is coven, they call it. You know? All the places I've gone to, all the men I've defiled myself with. Do you understand? Please wash me clean in Jesus' name. Now, after we pray like that for them, even if they have swallowed something, juju, they have done this, they have done that. The moment they are being saved is the same time that we are praying for them and we cast out every devil that have taken residence. Do you understand? That's a proper thing to do. That whatever devil that has taken residence in this soul that has now declared for Jesus will cast you out. We don't need to be sweating. We had to cast out the demon once. I was just about to eat the beans that they went to buy for me. When we sensed that the person was demon possessed, so the beans had to wait. But I wasn't sweating. I wasn't able to do yes. I said, you are going. There's no ground for all that nonsense. All those display, there's no ground for that. I simply told the devil, or that devil in that person, what happened on the cross. That's all I simply did. And on the basis of that, you must go. Just stop talking about the cross. Stop mentioning the cross. I said, no, we have to mention the cross. If I not mention the cross, I start asking you what's your name. Then he says, Insufi, is he Inkubi or Sukubi or something? He says that, you know, and I'm a legion, we are plenty here. So you know you are in trouble today. I don't need to do all that with you. I'll just simply tell you, do you remember, because you were all there at Calvary, all of you were rejoicing that day when Jesus died. When he didn't know that that's your undoing. In the name of he who hung on that cross, who lives now and is alive forevermore, I command you to go out. I don't need to say it twice. I say, go. It's because something is wrong with you. That's why those vibration is necessary. Somebody asked me to pray for them because we were going for something that was very scary and all that. You remember what I'm talking about. So I prayed for them, let us say Friday. So they're supposed to go on Sunday morning. So when they were going, they called me again and said, "We're on our way, please, will you pray for us?" I said, "The Friday prayer, did it expire?" So my wife was like, "What is it? At least cover them with prayer." I said, "But the prayer didn't expire." She sharp pushed me over. I said, "Okay, I will pray." So when I started praying, you know what I started? "Father, in Jesus' name, forgive our unbelief. Because we have never seen the effect of the Friday prayer that we're about to see when you get the way you're going. And what was impossible happened. Is it not true? What has never happened before happened." I said, "But just like that, you didn't vibrate. You didn't say, 'Father, all of my God.'" Jesus does not shout like that. I don't know why. You see, as I'm talking to you, that's how I pray. I don't know how to pray like that. You know some people, they are, when they are praying, I'm not saying whether God is hearing you, but they know how to pray. I don't know how to pray like that, but I know how to talk to God. And he will hear. So, some of us can't even, we don't even have faith in our own prayers. People must pray for us. Before you leave this place, throughout this training, you will never need anybody to pray for you again in Jesus' name. I'm not saying it's wrong for people to pray for you. Are you getting it now? But more beautiful, you know there are some things that you can't share with the closest person to you. That even you are so ashamed, you don't even want to admit to yourself. It's just awkward, you know? And so God says, "You know what? There's no need to tell another man." Say, "Eh? Oshé, it's done." They are not saying it to you. They are just, But I say, "It's well." So, he knows. They're not telling us. It is well. The Lord will do it. He will help us. No. Instead, I will teach you how I can take you by hand to who? To Jesus, who takes you to God. And I excuse you. Do you understand? So that the deepest things in your heart, you can tell him. And having told him, you can see him comfort and console you and encourage you. Your faith will no longer constantly need us coming for visitation. At least, you know, you have to be strong in the Lord. So you know you need to be close to God. If you have tested him yourself and see he's good, will you leave him? It's simple. Now, you won't leave. You won't go because you know that that's your all and in all. So that's the answer, sir. Okay? So that if we were not born again properly, there's nothing wrong with starting properly. Do you know that even things that are not as serious as a spiritual foundation of a person's life, things like beauty, once there's a defect in the foundation, what do? Do they continue building? I thought they would pour anointing oil. I said, "Oh Lord, uphold it. God won't uphold it because it's a sin. What you are doing is a sin." Do you know why it's a sin? It's not the right thing that you're doing. The right thing would be demolish whatever you have built. Build properly again. For if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We can't build on that kind of foundation. So, you see somebody, when that's now not done and they keep building on that, say, "Oh, it's well. God is a merciful God." As anointing is increasing in his life, annoyance will be increasing. Both the wheat and the tears will not be growing side by side. They will never look like Jesus. Pastor, you can remove his eyes to give people. It's only a pastor likes women. Is that the holy testimony? That pastor likes women. Or once pastor is angry like this, you have to just save your head. Pastor can see anything when he's angry. You can see anything. Oh, you bloody fool! And when pastor comes back again, it's well. That can't be a man of God like that. That can't be a man of God like that. That your emotions there on your skin. When people do one small thing, what happens? You flare up and you start talking anyhow, misbehaving. That's why long suffering is one of the qualities a minister of God must have. He must be able to suffer for how long? Minister can't be keeping a black book, one small black book. This is you I'm looking at. One small dead diary, one small black book. You will miss everyone. You miss everyone like that. Okay? Very good question, but that's the answer. If my salvation was based on incentives, let me just go and do the right thing. So that I'm properly planted. So that my faith can be in my own faith. My faith will stop being in the faith of other people. I will stop believing God through other people. I can believe in God for who? Myself. For I've seen Him forgive me. You understand? I've seen Him wash me clean. I've seen me walk with Him. That's a better foundation to build on. Question. From yesterday, questions from today.
Sir, I wanted to ask from Romans 8 from that verse 1.
Romans 8 from verse 1. Okay.
It said there is no condemnation now for those who live in union with Christ.
Yes.
Christ Jesus. For the law of spirit of the Spirit, which brings us life in union with Christ Jesus, has set us free from the law of sin.
Yes.
And death.
Yes.
What I'm just trying to ask is that how can I balance it? Because there is a example that you use. Is it yesterday or today that when a baby is trying to walk, he will be falling down before he starts walking properly. But how can someone balance it in a way that whenever they walk, we are talking about justification now. But if someone is not careful, if you are too, how can I help myself in a way that I will not be too familiar with the word of God? In a way that I know God has justified me in a way that I don't need to be condemning myself and everything. But if I'm not careful, during that justification also, I may be taking it for granted. So how can I help myself from that?
That you take justification for granted, or you take grace.
Yeah.
If you are saved properly, your attitude towards the word of God, what it must look like, I want to tell you. Your attitude towards the word of God must be such that it must be one of reverence, that is fear mixed with respect. Do you understand? Then, if you were saved properly and you were properly put under people who walk with God and who know God, you will not take the Bible anyhow. Do you know why? Because you will see those who are ahead of you, how they take the Bible. Normally, how those who are ahead of us take the Bible, that's how we take it. So, for instance, if we bring comedians and they joke with the Bible, what will we do sometimes? We joke with the Bible, you understand? Kenny, Bible gone somewhere. Don't know for one Kenny. Abi, so what happens now? We can think that we think that we can just jokingly like that water it down and all of that. Now, but if you have been taught that the Bible is the very food for your spirit, do you take what will make you grow? Do you eat sparsely? Do you go into the Bible and you start doing as if you are in a supermarket, which one to take, which one not to take? Is that how you'll be doing? No. You won't do that. You will know that just as God is a God of mercy, God, the same God as a God of mercy, is also a God of what? Justice. Do you understand it now? If pleasing God is your goal, because that God is the one who is teaching you the Bible. Is it not so? He is not confused, even if you are confused. When it is cane that he needs to apply, that is rod, what will he apply? It's cane. God is not. When it is staff to guide you, what will he apply? Staff to guide you. Do you understand it now? So, but you can also make it a point of prayer. Lord, I don't want to be familiar with your word. Do you understand? But one very important thing is this. In 1 Peter 2, from verse 1, the Bible says, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Is it not so? Huh? If you are a baby, as you have come to the Lord, desire the sincere milk of the word, so that you can grow. You make that a prayer point. Another thing is this. Because these things are omitted, people don't have a proper attitude to the word of God. Do you understand? People can clearly see. I was talking to some people yesterday, some days ago, I can't remember. I was talking to them and I told both of them. I said, when you are bold to throw away what the Bible says, that's when you'll be behaving as people are behaving. Amen. Are you getting it? So, if you are taught properly, you'll be taught the proper attitude to the word of God. Because that this Bible is open. Sorry. That is open like this. Does it mean it's open? Huh? When is it open? Huh? Then now you now get quiet. When is it open? Huh? What did you say, Jared? I can't hear. When you understand it. Okay? Can this Bible close while it is open? Huh? It can close. And you are just reading and. Have you been there before that you struggle to just get something? You won't get anything. After I say, whoa! People go, no, I tried. Why? It's because the book is closed. Even we who minister the word of God will learn to approach it with gravity, with fear, hoping and trusting in God again that what will happen, it will open again as we're about to minister it. You see me say earlier that I don't want to go into the next thing because I was weighing it. We have notes that you are writing down. Is what you are writing down what I'm teaching? Huh? That you have notes doesn't mean that you have what God wants to say. Even when you're asking for the notes. Do you understand? I'm talking about the attitude to the word of God. When your attitude is wrong, it will affect your foundation. So, once your attitude is right, and what is the right attitude? We fear and we revere the word of God. Okay? We respect the word of God and we fear the word of God. We fear it, meaning that whatever it says we should do, that's what we'll do. If I'm summarizing it for you, I'll simply say it this way. Let the word of God be your first consideration. Let it be the word you consider first. And once you have seen what it says, let that be your final authority. Anybody can be saying anything. You know, some things happened, and some of the brethren were asking me, you know, one woman died and all that, and the watchmen said that they kept seeing her. She used to come every 1 o'clock, 1 a.m. She would pass through the gate and all that, the street gate. So all the night watchmen are saying, you know what? I'll not do it again. I'll not do it again. They go out. Okay? Than that. It's not just that she comes. She also goes around 3 o'clock. So some people are asking me that, when somebody dies, is it that? If maybe they die violently and the person in question actually died violently, is it not that the spirit will be looking for rest up and down, first of all? So I said, show me in the Bible. Amen. Show me where? Why did I say that? Because my first consideration is the word of God. And I know what the word of God says about when people die. My final authority is the word of God. I don't care what you are saying. I can explain it to you from the Bible. Because if I begin to believe that kind of nonsense, that She didn't go. So every night she used to come to talk in her children. See, as I'm shaking. When I'm not in my house, I never take current. If something passes, what happens now? Because water seeps. What will I believe? Oh, whether they are passing through this place. So I asked them to open to Ecclesiastes, and I showed them. The Bible says, when a person dies, the body goes to the ground, the spirit goes back to God. Who gave it? So what's that thing walking up and down? They are evil spirits. Impersonating as that person. Ah, but I saw my dad, he has died. And he told me, always weed my burial ground, though. I said, it's not your daddy, so. It is spirit that promotes superstition. Spirits that do what? When my own father died too, I kept saying things that look like him, or that has his image and all that. And I would say, no. When the spirit dies, or when a person dies, the spirit returns to God. The body goes to the ground. Who are you? And the thing will come out in what it actually is. In my sleep. It's okay. How do you explain this one? All those people that have died, then they will give birth to children. They will go somewhere else. So they want to say, would you ever know any member of your family? They will now bring them home and say, you see that house in front? Go there. That's our house. Let me quickly buy something. They happen. It's not that they don't happen. They happen. Is it not the dead coming back? No. It is not the dead. It has happened before. Genesis chapter 6. Sons of God coming down to the daughters of men. And from that monstrous union, giants were begotten. It is evil spirits. How can evil spirits sleep with people? Ask those who are into occultism. Demons sleep with them. Amen. All the talk about spirit husband, they are not any spirit husband. It is simply an evil spirit that has taken an interest in that person and likes that person. Simple. And as long as you are unclean, they can come and defile you. Simple. There's no big deal about it. There's no over so much explanations there. It's clear why. It's there in the word of God, both in the Old Testament and in the New. It's not one dead person that escaped from hell. No. When people die and they live in sin, they go to hell. When they die and they live in righteousness, they go to heaven. That's as simple as that. Bible says it's appointed unto man to die when? After this is what? Did you see after this? He may patrol for a while up and down on the earth, seeking rest. When he now findeth none, he goes for judgment. Is that what is there in the Bible? Or you don't know that when people die, angels or demons are standing by them to take them away. They don't even allow you to go scot-free. No. If the person dies and is a righteous person, angels are waiting. Once he's dead, oh yeah, let's go. When the person dies, devils are waiting. Oh yeah, let's go. So you don't want to go where? You have always lived for us. Let's go home. You understand? So your attitude to the word of God, that's what will help you balance everything. Secondly, and finally, your conscience. Never deceive yourself. Tell yourself, I will never deceive myself. Do you understand? When your conscience is pure, the word of God will be clear to you. What you need per time is what God will say to you. If the devil wants to twist the scriptures, you know that God knows all things, but Satan doesn't know all things. He will tell you, no, watch out, be careful. Don't go there. That is not correct. Like that. That's what he will do. And that's the way. Okay? Yes, Sister Happiness.
See, what if something appears here now and it's doing who?
If they're born now, make it appear. The devil knows those who have authority over him. Do you understand? And so they avoid. There's nowhere to send him. He will remain there until the judgment day. It's all there in the Bible. Appear before me. And sometimes, don't be alone in the house. I mean, I like to be alone. Something will just appear to you.
I'll laugh. Appear now. Appear first. Before you start talking, appear first. The angels guarding me. What are they doing? They were asleep. They allow such foul, such dirty thing into my house. No. Yes.
In the process of salvation, yes. Can we talk about, there was this news one time that some group of people went to, they were already in school, so they went to the school administration that they want to forfeit their admission, that their WAEC result was, as in, it was not, yes, or probably maybe they were involved in some malpractices. So they're like, we are now born again, so I want, I think they said they were in 300 level. So in justification, does it mean that God did not forgive them for what he did?
Like, very good question. God forgave them.
Okay.
But there's something that we call restitution. Do you understand? That is, you own up for the evil that you have done, which evil you are still enjoying its benefits. Okay? You own up. Now, it's left for the school to choose. Say, you know, okay, we forgive you. Go ahead with your schooling. Do you understand? The school could do that. Okay? And the school could say, okay, we have been looking for people like you before. We rusticate you. But such people have found their joy in something else. And they want their consciences to be clear. Do you understand? So they were forgiven, but they needed to restitute. Since they are still enjoying the proceeds of that sin. You understand? That's why they did that kind of thing. And that's why most Nigerian politicians cannot go to heaven. Because they must substitute for how much they have stolen. And they have no work that they are doing. They only know how to steal. So, and if you have stolen, and you can't give it back. And you are not even willing to give it back. How will you get to heaven? Will thieves go to heaven? Amen. So for a politician in Nigeria to be saved, what must he do? He must sell all his property to use to pay for all what he has stolen. Then he will be an ordinary man like every other person else. Would he not prefer to go to hell than do that? Uh-huh. And so that's why he will go to hell. Simple. Okay? So that's restitution. He must restitute. He must own up for what he has done in the past. Yes, he knows God has forgiven him, but as long as he's profiting, or he's still profiting from that thing, or as long as the Holy Spirit convicts him that you need to do this thing right, you need to set it right.
I was going to ask
something similar.
In that, yeah. Okay. But I think you just answered. But let me just say, I was talking to a colleague of mine about that, and I told him that it's not everything you can actually make right again. I mean, there are some things that you've done and you can't make right. But should it not be that it's if you are led to actually make it right before you actually do something like that.
Definitely, like what she said, restitution is based on conviction. You understand? It's not every act of sin, first of all, that you can remember. That's one. It's not every act of sin that requires confession to another person and you require that they forgive you. Do you understand? Or that you pay back. It's not every act of sin. There are some specific sins like that, okay, that require such a thing. Okay, but if you are even going to restitute at all and all that, you mention it to your leaders. So they will tell you whether it's a restitutable, if you could restitute it, or if I'm praying for you and asking the blood of Jesus to cover it, would have just simply covered it. Questions from the things that we have learned yesterday and today. 10 minutes more to close for today. Yes?
About atonement.
About?
Atonement.
Move the microphone away from the mouth so I can hear you.
I wanted to ask that. Atonement is talking about Christ dying on behalf of our sins, paying
as our sacrifice.
Yeah. So, and each time we fell into sin, he is the one that is begging on our behalf to God. So, I'm looking at this aspect of some of People don't wish, as in, I won't say people. Someone that is born again doesn't wish to fall into sin. But in some kind of aspect that you find yourself into sin, let's say you pray, and Jesus Christ has done his work, you have been forgiven, and later on you fell again. I want to use the process of that baby that was falling and raising. But another part again, you saw some people that immediately they are born again, they go straight.
They go straight.
Without
falling or anything.
Uh-huh.
Who told you?
No, sir.
Who told you?
Wait, sir.
That is not evident to all men that they didn't fall.
Sir, oh, I'm
look
not...
at you. That's why I asked you who told you. It's not true.
Sir.
That statement is not true. That once somebody is born again, who can love you? You. No, it's not true. I've been born again like 20 years. So I know what I'm saying. I've even fallen into error before and I'm preaching. Do you understand? It is not true. It is not correct to say that once somebody is born again, bah.
It's just going on.
Jesus gave Peter the church. Did he not? Paul accused Peter of hypocrisy. Was it false accusation or Peter was a hypocrite at the time? He was plain hypocrite. And that is the overall head of the church, the person Jesus gave the key to. Paul himself was talking about his own issues and all that, you understand? But you see, Paul said, when I was a child, I did what? I thought like a child. I spoke like a child. But when I became an adult, what did I do? I left childish things. So keep falling is childish.
You can stumble into sin.
You can stumble into sin. When you stumble into sin, that means a mistake. Eh? To keep falling is, I have no power. What do you think? What do you want me, Lord? Jesus, I'm warning you that I will follow until you fall. Because the things that requires or that helps your standing, you are not doing them. Do you understand? You don't abandon Bible study. You don't abandon dependent prayer in all situations. Do you know that that money I went to collect today, I prayed about it? You know, sir. Why we pray that? You can't say that I didn't collect that money from us. I'm at by 10. But I told God, Lord, I don't want to have issues with this man. Let him just return the money. His car papers. Oh, of course, when you continue. Well, you know these local government people. No? So all of them shall play funny. So I told them, go and collect the money. And last night, before I slept, I prayed about it. When you were going this one, I prayed about it. Would you have known if I didn't tell you? So when you came back and told me that you are back and the money is available, I was shocked because the time span was so short. But it was an answer prayer for me. Yesterday, did you not pray about these people here? Do you understand? So somebody abandons dependent prayer. All of a sudden you are seeing, let me use girls as an example. You are seeing a girl that you like. You like her. It's not. And you are born again. Amen. I don't tell God, I like this girl. They see, oh, deliver me and help me. Will you fall or not? If you didn't pray that prayer. Huh? You don't know. If you don't know, I'll tell you the answer. You will fall. Do you know why? Because God knows that that situation requires that you should pray. Then you abandon prayer. You abandon meditation in the Word of God. You abandon communing with the Holy Spirit or being in the Spirit. There's no how the person will not keep some assaulting in sin. Yet, if you maintain those other things, there's no how you will not keep living in holiness. So that even if you stumble into sin, it's a stumble, it's not a fall. It's a mistake and it's easy to retract, you understand now, to retrace your steps back and do the right thing. Because you have surrounded yourself with spiritual disciplines that keeps you on the narrow way. Do you understand? Those who keep falling is because those other things that I've mentioned, they don't do them. There are some of us that when, let's say you have been studying your Bible for a while, because we have gathered much, then you go on holiday for Bible study. Are you getting that? You go on holiday. Sir, but you are not studying again, sir. There's something I've been chewing since last week. The Lord has been good. Okay, oh. Nobody says you shouldn't chew. But add the one for today on top of it. Say, no. I'm still strong now. I'm still strong now. The person won't know when he's weak. Are you getting it? Dependent prayer in every circumstance. Now, if you know you need God for the next issue that will happen, will you not be in such, won't you be in such a way so that when you cry, he will hear you? Eh? Won't you want to keep yourself in such a place so that when you now need help and you are praying about that next thing, he will hear you? Can you be living in sin and be praying that God should do something for you? Will he do it? Do you understand that? Meditation in the Word. You want to be in the Spirit, you are not constantly meditating upon the Word of God. Are you getting it now? Won't other junk fill your mind? Where does sin begin from? From the thoughts, from the mind. Now, somebody whose mind is not filled with the Word of God, or not filled with holy songs, or not filled with dependent prayer in all situations, please, without that person doing anything, is he not living in sin? Because the thought is already defiled, and our thoughts control our actions. Is it not so? You get it now. So, it's not that there's no process or there's no way by which you can stand. There is. And we just need to identify it, which are these things I've mentioned, and we keep at it. Please, do you understand? If we keep falling and rising, we keep falling and rising, it is because spiritual disciplines that have been kept in place to keep us holy, we flouted them. You understand? That seems, honestly speaking, that is the issue. It's not more than that. Do you know that if you constantly study your Bible, not because you want to preach to anybody, but just because you want to know God, there's a way you reason that will be different from the way other people reason. Because we have all been there before. Abby? That I want to obey the Bible. There's a way you will live. You understand? It will be different from those who are living the other way. Unlike weeds, fruit trees and plants must be planted. Is it not true? In the same way, the Word of God must be constantly planted in our heart. Junks that comes to our mind, they are like weeds. What are they like? Weeds. They just grow by themselves. We cut them to size by the Word of God. Do you understand that? So that's why I quickly cut it so that you can understand it. When we are children, God expects that we should grow up. When someone like me start working like this, you know, you see that I'm drunk. I can't say, you know, I'm still a child. You know, I can't say that. If you have been born again for more than 4 years, are you a child? Eh? No, you are just simply a backslider. If you now backslided after, say, 4 years, you understand? It's not because you were a child. It's not, so even if you are now falling and rising, it's because the things that have been put in place to keep you standing, what's happening now? You are not respecting them. And as long as you don't respect them, for instance, now, I want to get to my house. Is there no, isn't it that there's a way to my house, right or wrong? And I refuse to take that way to my house. And I face the way to Kano. Where will I meet myself? Then another teacher says, oh, how come I can never get back home? Why can't I get back home? Why am I not getting home? I'm not respecting the way home. Do you understand? So there are principles for standing. You want to keep standing as a Christian, there are principles that you must follow. Are you getting it now? When we don't follow those principles, we will fall again. Simple. What are those principles? Personal Bible study. Dependent prayer in all things so that you don't live a worry-free, filled life. Meditation in the Word of God. Huh? And finally, the practice of the Word of God that you are learning or meditating, excuse me, or studying on. That's all. It's not even plenty. But then you can later add spiritual disciplines like praying in the Spirit, fasting, you understand? But they are not core as those four that I've mentioned. When you study the Bible, it says, this book of the Lord shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to what is written therein. For then will you make your way prosperous, then will you have good success. You understand? Then somebody refused to do that one. He's not studying the Bible, he's not praying on it. Of course, whatever that is in his mind is how he will live his life. Is it not so? And if he's living based on his mind, he's already in the flesh. Okay? Did I allow you to ask a question or did I answer it? Huh? I answered it. I want you to appreciate God who justified you and who made you right with Him. If you have prayed that prayer of atonement, I want you to appreciate Him who wiped away your past and who is giving you the dignity of a beautiful future. Thank Him and exalt His holy name, extol Him, because He's worthy. Let us appreciate Him. Let us thank Him. Thank Him because you can now stand before God, righteous and holy, clean and purified, because all of it because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. I want to tell Him, Lord, I want justification to become my daily experience. It's not what God does once in a while. No. Once He has done it and you remain in it, it becomes what has been done. Every time you come before God in prayer, that's what you stand like. Particularly if you are clinging to the sacrifice of Jesus, you come as if you have no sin. You come pure and holy. Ask Him, Lord, keep me in You in Jesus' name. Keep me pure. Keep me holy in the name of Jesus Christ. Glory to Your holy name. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Father, as many of us who put our faith in You this afternoon, as many of us who have put our faith in the sacrifice of Jesus, let Your atonement speak for us in Jesus' name. Help us to experience Your justification. I banish in all of our hearts and lives everything that looks like self-condemnation in Jesus' name. I silence every accusation of the devil. Strengthen us against them in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank You for what You have done for us today. Thank You for what You will yet do for us. For in Jesus' name we have prayed.
Having listened to the undiluted word of God, we implore you to respond to this message prayerfully. Remember, it is what you do with what you hear that brings about transformation. For further inquiries or counsel or for more information on our discipleship labors, please contact us on
080-813-8536,
080-745-8177, 081-409-9121, or visit our blogspot at www.reformationplatform.com.
When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life